The Kalamazoo Film Society, year-round, brings films of really interesting stories, and the way they're told is interesting. They bring them year-round to Kalamazoo in partnership with Celebration Cinema, and they've also regularly, since pandemic's time started, offered the virtual lobby discussion, which is a Zoom meeting where you can talk about a specific movie. So with that explained, I'd like to welcome back Madeline Cimini, a longtime board member of the Kalamazoo Film Society. Hello, Madeline.
Good morning.
Good morning. And for the first time, Chad Campbell, who I've only ever seen on those Zoom discussions. And it's really nice to see you in person. And I do love how you kind of conduct the discussions.
Oh, wonderful. It's a pleasure to be here.
So let's talk all things movies. There's a little bit of urgency to begin with, because some of these movies you've had in at Celebration are heading out the door later this week. And one of them is the topic of Thursday's virtual lobby discussion. So, Chad, I'll ask you to tell us what's leaving theaters, and we might still have a few showings left to check them out.
Absolutely. So the one that's going to be in our virtual lobby is going to be the movie Pig. Interesting title and a very interesting movie. It is directed by Martin I'm going to say his last name wrong. Michael Sarsanowski. I hope that's right.
That sounds Polish.
It sounds right when I say it, but it could be wrong. It's actually their debut film, and it is just a really, really fantastic Nicolas Cage performance. That is what I will describe the film as to anyone. It's a movie you should just see and enjoy, mostly for Nicolas Cage's performance.
Sometimes that's all the reason you need, because he's such an interesting actor.
And that's putting it mildly. It's interesting because this is a film about he portrays a truffle hunter in the Northwest, and his pig is stolen. And earlier this year, we brought a documentary, The Truffle Hunters, which is one of my favorite films of the year. It played in Ann Arbor for 13 weeks. And four of those weeks, Pig played not as a double feature, but it was on the marquee as well. And Nicolas Cage is heartbreaking and just watching him move conveys all of his life that he is carrying, and the twists and turns. He's reclusive. Truffles are as expensive and here as they are in Italy. There is a dark side as there was in The Truffle Hunters. But yes, Nicolas Cage, I called it a tour de force, the role of a lifetime. It is. I don't think that's hyperbole. It's an amazing story.
I think it could have been titled something a little more poetic. Is that a contrast you like when you see this is a film with, great depth, and it's called Pig?
I think that's very appropriate, though, when you see the film, because the pig really is the – I compare this movie to Taken or John Wick, but where instead of going out and getting physical revenge – it's more of a journey of someone actually having to go through something like that, an emotional journey in those aspects. So for me, Pig just works because the pig is the center of the film in a lot of ways.
Is there a real pig?
Yes.
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 Yeah.
So Nicolas Cage, there's an animal actor, and you believe this is...
So without spoiling a lot, Nicolas Cage has a deep emotional connection to this pig.
Sure.
And
which is responsible for his wealth, for his income and welfare by searching for truffles?
Yeah, kind of, yes.
Kind of.
And basically, this is in the first few minutes, so I'm not spoiling anything, but basically the pig gets taken from someone, and so he goes out in search of the pig. That's why I say similar to John Wick with his dog, similar to Taken with his daughter, but this is a but he doesn't go out and actually get revenge, and we find out, you know, he's some ex-military something. No, we learn about his character, but in a much more real, grounded way.
And here's a man who's been, you know, living as a recluse with this pig, dealing only with one or two people, and he has to rediscover his past, kind of in the subterranean world of Portland, Oregon. Adam Arkin is in it, and what an interesting character he is. I always
Absolutely.
Think of him, you know, kind of light comedy. No, not in this. But watching Nicolas Cage just walk, I have goosebumps. The way he just encompasses everything that happened to him, the loss of not just a pet or a forager for truffles, but this is a being that he loves, and he does say that.
I would like to maybe give listeners a better understanding of how the discussions would go, or how this discussion about pig might go on Thursday with the virtual lobby discussion. And Chad, you often come up with some of the framing questions and ideas. What are some ideas that you're mulling over right now that you think people in the Zoom meeting would respond to and want to have something to say about it?
So most of the time our discussions are just going to be a regular, I try to keep them, I let us go deep, but if we have to stay shallow, we will. So I always like to ask, what was your first impression of this film when you saw it? What did you think about it? Then I might ask, and then a lot of times based on responses, I kind of let the conversation go from there and ask questions based off first reactions. But one thing I might ask is, you know, do you think this film would have been as good if someone else was in it? Because mm-hmm. that's a genuine question.
I foresee an actual problem where if you all start comparing Nicolas Cage performances to his entire filmography,
oh, yes.
That might take up the entire time.
So I've said he's had two big releases this year. He's had Pig, and then he had Willy's Wonderland, which is about Chuck E. Cheese gone rogue, and he's in it. Now, depending on how you like Nicolas Cage, you could love either of those films or both of them. He is one of the most eccentric, different actors. You'd never know quite what you're getting. His name doesn't mean a movie's good. His name doesn't mean a movie's bad. It's what a name. Yeah.
Adaptation, I think, was probably one of my top.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. Nicolas Cage, where he plays himself twice somehow.
Yeah. And then I believe the next year he made Ghost Rider, which is the opposite style of film. And that's just how he is. But this is one that I think if anyone ever doubts that he's a good actor and you just kind of write him off as he does these cheesy B movies, you can see something like Pig and go, wow.
He has redeemed himself with us.
Yeah. I don't even think he needed – for me, I love his bad movies, his schlocky films. So he never had to redeem himself. But he proved that he has the ability to be fantastic, but that he's just a different person who sometimes doesn't like to be fantastic and likes to choose this other script about a Chuck E. Cheese gone rogue.
Why not?
Yeah.
So – listeners, you can join Chad Campbell and Madeline Cimini and probably 10 or 11 other folks on Thursday night starting at 7 p.m. in a virtual lobby discussion about Pig. It's best if you've seen it, certainly. And the airings, rather, that's a radio term. Showings.
Screenings.
We'll continue. Today's Tuesday, so Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at Celebration Cinema. You'll find all the details at calfilmsociety.net.
Yes.
That's also where you can go to a tab that says membership. There's a very simple form. And for $10, you can become a member of the Kalamazoo Film Society, a membership that's renewed every year.
Absolutely.
I think it's arguably the best deal in Kalamazoo, because with a membership, you pay $7 per ticket for our films. evening films are what, $11? Even matinees on weekends are nine or ten. So you get our cute little newsletters, you get information. We have other events that we have in the past. This past year has been quite different. And getting back to Pig, I think that's another reason that this resonated so much, because the last year and a half, with people being isolated and what we're connecting to or with, I think it added another layer to this film that didn't need it, but it just added to it, as if I needed something else to like it more.
Any other thoughts, Chad, about how to frame a discussion so everybody kind of takes part? I've never noticed, anything getting stalled or anything. People are really conscious of each other's time to talk, and I appreciate that too.
Yes. I like to try and include everyone, but I understand not everyone wants to be included all the time. Some people like to go on to a talk to hear what others have to say and form their opinions based off that. You can watch a movie and not be sure if you liked it or not. I think these kinds of discussions help you to form an opinion, help you to see what others thought about it, and that can reinforce those ideas you had in your mind.
And we have talked about that. I'm generally the contrarian. I tend to rate movies lower than the group, but on more than one occasion, hearing someone say, oh, well, this or that, it makes me look at it a little bit differently. I won't change a rating a lot, but it does make me, or it reminds me that we come to films with, just like the Nicolas Cage character, with all of our past along with us. Some things will resonate with us and some things will not, but it is good to hear other people's opinions.
Absolutely. We all have different styles. We all like different things. You could be listening right now and go, well, I thought Nicolas Cage was fine in this, but I preferred Willy's Wonderland. Hop on to the virtual lobby. I want to hear this. Let's talk about it. We don't all have to like the same thing. That's the beauty of movies. And that's why we exist. That's why we have the Film Society, is to showcase a lot of different films.
You'll find an email address at calfilmsociety.net, and that is where you send your request to be included, and then you will be sent a Zoom meeting link to join in. You don't have to be a member, so you can try it out. And Thursday is the day. Pig is the movie. Nicolas Cage is the star, unless it's also... I guess the pig itself has disappeared in the beginning.
Correct,
so,
yes.
Yeah, we may... I really hope there's a reunion, but I can't tell from your faces if that's going to happen or not.
No spoilers.
Okay. Well, if you just tuned in, Chad Campbell and Madeline Cimini from the Kalamazoo Film Society are here. Let's move on to what you're excited about, what's coming up for the Kalamazoo Film Society showing at Celebration Cinema, starting Friday.
All right. Coming this Friday, we have, and I'm going to say this name wrong, I believe it was Teton? Did I say that right?
That sounds French.
Sounds good to me.
All right, Teton.
It is French.
Yes, yes. It is pronounced Titan with an E at the end, and that is how my American self originally just said it must be just Titan. It's Teton. However, if you go to buy a ticket and you say Titan, they'll know what you mean. Don't worry about that. No one will judge. That one won the Palme d'Or at Cannes this year, which made the director the second female director ever to win.
In 74 years.
Oh, my.
Yeah. To give you a really, really short synopsis of the film, to quote a summary, it is a horror thriller about a mentally disturbed woman who becomes pregnant after having sex with a car. So this seems like a very appropriate film to start on October 1st. It's our Halloween selection.
I was thinking Carrie. Oh, no, not Carrie. There's a car movie.
Christine.
Yes. If you watch a trailer for it, you might walk away going, I don't know what this is. Because I did, but I was very intrigued. And it's won good things. It has a lot of acclaim. I believe it's 97% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is always, you know, you're sure to have something good.
Right.
I'm excited for it. I'm also nervous on what it's going to be when I read that summary, but I'm ready to see it.
I would agree. I think people, if they are interested, I would encourage them to watch the trailer. I saw the trailer maybe a month or so ago, not knowing much, and I'm like, what? As I was trying to put together the newsletter, there was scant information, but I was able to pull out that it's visually arresting. It's interesting, that minute and a half or however long the trailer lasts. But it's very graphic, and it's drama, horror, sci-fi, and sexuality. So people do need to be prepared
right.
for that.
Although if you're not prepared, I would love to hear how you react to it. So.
This reminds me of the one thing that I meant to say while we were talking about the discussion is that having attended a few, it always leaves me thinking I should see it again because I've heard so many new perspectives. And I'm curious to know, do both of you tend to see the same film multiple times?
I think it depends. Some films, yes, definitely I'll go see it a second time. If I was confused about it or after hearing our virtual lobby on it, I'm more tempted to want to see it a second time.
Yeah.
Some films I can be an opinionated person, and some films I'll see once and go, yeah, I'm not seeing that a second time. I don't need that. But it really depends. A movie like Pig, I haven't seen a second time, but it stuck with me and I certainly will watch it again. But it wasn't one where I was like, I need to go see it again to really understand it or comprehend it. I loved it as it was.
I did as well. I don't see a lot of movies a second time, but there have been a number this year that going to a movie has been a respite and a salvation for me this year. So there were a number of films, and I thought, well, I want another ticket sold, even though I have a pass. I don't know how that works, but there's another body, a warm body in the seat. So I have seen a number of films twice just because I like them. I like seeing, you know, films on a big screen. And The Truffle Hunters, I was going to see that again because it was so beautifully filmed. But then it only lasted, I think, 2 weeks. And I didn't want to drive to Ann Arbor, although I could have.
So sometimes going to the discussion does make you want to to see it. You just heard it seen through other people's eyes, and you're like, well, I want to check it out again so I can kind of confirm what others were saying about it.
Or think, no, I still don't get it. And sometimes that happens. I'm probably one of the few people on the board or in the group who has walked out on films. And I have. And
Wow.
Some our films.
Listeners at home, this is a revelation.
Some of our films.
I will never walk out on a film unless it's just, I guess if it's just awful, terrible. Usually a really bad comedy I'll walk out on. I did it once. But yeah. Not on our things. I think a lot of times some of these movies that we bring are very open to interpretation, but they can be, I understand if that's not your cup of tea.
Yeah.
And it can be frustrating to watch a movie and random things are happening. And if you're not invested or viewing it like it's open for interpretation, you think you're watching a lot of scrambled nonsense. And that's where I say, hey, if you thought that was scrambled nonsense, let us know, because we can talk about it, and maybe it was more than you thought, or maybe we just took it for more than it was, and it is scrambled nonsense. That's always possible.
It was helpful to hear the discussion on Annette, which was a pretty trippy movie with a puppet as a human child, and kind of a crazy.
One of my favorite films of this year.
Oh, well,
maybe my number one.
It's frustrating, and at the same time, the more it stays with you, you keep thinking about it, and then it was really fun to talk about.
Yes.
So The chance to be part of a virtual lobby discussion is Thursday, starts at 7 o'clock. You'll get an email with a link if you send an email to the Kalamazoo Film Society. The address is at calfilmsociety.net. I'm with Chad Campbell and Madeline Cimini, and it's getting close to 10:30 here, and we need to cover a few more upcoming shows, including The Lost Leonardo, and something else that's starting soon.
So we have three films that are ending soon. Teton starts this Friday, and then Lost Leonardo will continue. That's a film that I hadn't even really heard of until this morning, which is a shame because I'm on the board. But I am very intrigued by this movie. It looks like a fantastic documentary.
And it is. I saw it, and it's incredibly well done, and the way it travels, you get money involved and you get, you know, unsavory characters. Evidently, the Salvador Mundi painting attributed to Leonardo da Vinci was found kind of in a ramshackle warehouse in New Orleans. And what follows is the story how that painting came to be the most valuable painting ever sold. And it's rich white men, rich foreign men. There's politics involved. It's interesting. There are interviews. It's a little bit of art history. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it.
You know, art acquisition at that level is often not at all about the art itself.
And that's part of it. As you watch the, it almost looks choreographed, the way the auctioneers do things and the people hold their little numbers or make little signs. And someone does mention that in the film, how, you know, these, it does, it looks choreographed. And I guess it is. But the incredible, incredible, incredible amounts of money. And is this a Da Vinci or not? But it sold for $400 million or over $400 million.
Interesting subject for a film. I mean, there's a lot of drama right there.
Absolutely.
So you have a chance to see The Lost Leonardo while it's at Celebration Cinema. And did you say that it's continuing?
Yes.
It is, yes.
Through the weekend and into next week?
Yep, correct.
At least until a week from Thursday.
Yeah, except for the next week.
All right. What else do you want to draw attention to?
You have a couple days left, of course, to see Pig. Which we highly recommend. Pig is available, I believe, for rental at this point.
Amazon Prime and on Vudu
okay.
as well.
So if you were not able to see it in theater, you're still uncomfortable going back, which we understand, you can do that and still attend the virtual lobby. And we always, of course, encourage that. The Card Counter, directed and written by Paul Schrader, who is the writer of Taxi Driver and Raging Bull and the writer-director from First Reformed, which came out a few years ago. That is still playing, as is Nowhere In. That is a Portlandia meets Spinal Tap meta-comedy. Audiences and critics seem to be a little mixed on it. But for me, that almost adds to it because both Portlandia and Spinal Tap were divisive upon their original release. So this could easily become a cult classic or a late-night screening film at certain festivals in the future.
And I saw it a few days ago, and it's half documentary, half reality. St. Vincent, Annie Clark, who portrays St. Vincent as a performance artist. I'm not that familiar with her work. And Carrie Brownstein is a friend in real life, and they decide to make a documentary. And it's interesting. One of the reviews I read said that it's more interesting when she's on stage. I didn't see that. The interplay, it's something, I saw it, I'll never go back to it. You know, I saw it.
You've seen a lot.
Well, indeed. Indeed, I have.
A lifelong theater.
Like I said, divisive, right? Right. That was one reaction. Maybe you saw it and thought it was amazing.
Sometimes it's just one or two jokes that'll be like so great that you know you just they become part of the thing you refer to, like
absolutely.
with friends that, who also saw it, and you just like yes. laugh over it for years.
Yep,
that happens to
me. Oh, there's a lot of comedies that I go back to and thought it was so funny, and my friends and I joked about it, and then I watch it again, and I'm like, a couple lines were good, but it's not really that good.
It's
oh,
not
no.
the laugh riot.
I lied to myself. Yeah.
Yep. We do change, and we see things differently as we, you know, gain experience. And
time changes how we look at things.
Sure.
How Breakfast at Tiffany's, early mid-60s, could that movie be made now? No. With Mickey Rooney.
Well, I was going to say, especially not with Mickey Rooney.
Exactly.
Yes.
But that
part's a little dated.
It's very dated. But,
yeah.
You know, going back.
He is not in blackface. He is in Asian face.
Yes.
Yeah.
Either way, it's a.
Shamefaced.
It's a very, yes, it's a very offensive thing.
Which was totally kosher at the time.
I was going to say, it's very much a product of its time.
Yeah.
That doesn't excuse its behavior at all.
Right.
However, there's a lot of movies that I guess I'd always say understand that it's a product of its time.
But then there are some that stand the test of time. You know, they're as funny now
right.
as they were without having that.
Those.
But,
yeah. There's also films that had random cuts back then. Like, they'd obviously cut to another shot or angle. It was just that sloppy editing, I guess. But in the 40s, a lot of those films have that. It was very common. So I always say, like, take it for what it was
yeah.
at the time.
Well,
it's a wonderful life.
The pacing is quite different. Films in the 30s and 40s had to be shown someone actually driving from one place to another, pulling up, parking, getting out of the car, and yep. walking up the sidewalk and knocking on the door, whereas today, it's just knocking on the door.
Right.
You know, it's sort of like a language, as we were talking off air. There's movies are a language, and we've all kind of grown to understand all the conventions of it, and they keep evolving.
Indeed they do. Yeah. Indeed they do, as people can make movies on their smartphone.
Indeed. Well, we'll have to leave this now for another time. I'd love to have you both back to talk about activities at the Kalamazoo Film Society. If you've been listening and have any interest in joining a really interesting group of people who really care about stories being told from all over, please visit calfilmsociety.net. And we'll see you again soon.
Thank you, Kara.
Thank you so much.
There is a farm animal in the music I picked out. It's not a pig. It is an ox. This is a famous kind of ballet, fun dance hall thing from Darius Milhaud called The Ox on the Roof. And we have a two-piano version here from the pianist Stephen Coombs and Arthur Pizarro.